Like so many other natural resources, we don't tend to think much about soil until there's some sort of shortage or problem with it. In a technical sense, soil is renewable, which is to say that if it's been damaged, it can be repaired, but not nearly as quickly as it's being depleted.
It takes about 1,000 years to build an inch of soil.
You might call David Ianson a dirt doctor. He studied soils extensively and holds a PhD in plant pathology. Now he's a soil conservationist for the Natural Resources Conservation Service Office in Kenai. A lot of his work has examined soil conditions around other natural resource development like coal mines that drastically change the chemical makeup of soils and, by extension, their ability to support life and agriculture.
I mean, we're talking about a pH that's essentially Coca-Cola, very acidic, and it takes a while for that to come back. To raise, whether it's from loess, which is wind-blown soil, back in to help raise it, or whether there are other processes.
Natural disasters, too, can be deleterious to soils because soil isn't just dirt. It's made up of a huge variety of microorganisms that give it the properties we need to grow stuff. So after a major disruption, like, say, the eruption on Mount St. Helens, the long process of building soils begins again.
I found these beneficial organisms in the fur of pocket gophers and in the feces of elk. Now, elk will eat these organisms off St. Helens in a source site, which has not been disturbed, and then they'll wander out and defecate in the area. They're carrying plant seeds. They're also carrying the beneficial organisms. So you've got this little microcosm to start with. And then these things begin to, I call them islands of fertility, and they begin to coalesce.
And that's one way we can help do a little to protect soil health, by creating, where and when possible, our own little islands of fertile soil. NRCS has 4 main principles for this, some of which might be a bit more popular than others.
One of them, keep your soil covered as much as possible. Don't go out there and tear everything up to put in, and I hate to say this because I'm going to get in trouble, don't put in a lawn. I mean, it's a monoculture of a grass species. It just doesn't make any sense.
Building off of that, another principle is to diversify what is growing from your soil. Leaving living roots intact underground is another winning strategy, as root systems serve as a sort of means of communication between plants.
The plant is sending sugars out into the soil. These organisms just eat that up. And they, in turn, will break down material that the plant can't break down on its own.
And all of those things are easy to do when you factor in the 4th principle, which is to disturb soil as little as possible. So does all of this mean that we have to choose between healthy soil and all of the development that make up modern life? Ianson says no. It just takes a different mindset.
Let's take an organic farmer, for instance. They can get really good production. They just have to understand. They have to be an amateur soil microbiologist, essentially. That doesn't mean that you're going to put the skids, you know, the brakes on your production. It just means you have to wind up using, you know, addressing production in a different way.
And for us non-farmers, addressing our relationship with soil in a different way is another good place to start to keep this delicate resource around for the future. In Kenai, I'm Shaylin Cochran.